In the name of the living God. Amen. Please be seated. So in the gospel story today, we have somebody who's really easy to pile upon. We've got the Pharisee, the self-righteous, the smug Pharisee. But the story of two people, both in need of redemption, both who need help, but in different ways. Now, I imagine if you were listening closely to the gospel, you were probably quietly cringing, or at least I was cringing, at how smug this guy is. He's thanking God that he's not like the rest of those losers. You remember what he says. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all my income. Now, we people would never stoop to such sanctimonious behavior. We have never looked down upon anybody. We've never thought we were better than anybody, or at least not today. Because we are grounded in our faith. We would never go that far. But I want to share with you some of the things that I see going on in the world around us. I think what if you boiled it down, that the Pharisee has the case of the humble brags. You know, where you're pretending to be humble, but you're not really. So some of my favorites come from social media. There was a young woman who got on Twitter, you know, tweeting, and she says, I'm wearing a ponytail, just rolled out of bed from a nap, and I'm at the bar with my guy, and these guys are still hitting on me. Really? Like, she's so amazing, so beautiful, that even rolling out of bed, she just can't believe that these guys would want her. Another one posts, he says, I hate my Lamborghini. The police are always pulling me over just because it's a Lamborghini. If you know what a Lamborghini is, it's that $100,000 plus car. The police are always pulling me over just because it's a Lamborghini. And then they let me go. What are they thinking? Now, those are sort of naked, humble brags. But Jesus' teaching today is about how to care for each other and to put our accomplishments aside so that we can be in fellowship with one another. And when we feel better or separate, or even worse, like the tax collector, we break down community. We break down the ways that we can be in fellowship with one another. I want to share with you what I think is, it's political, but I'm not telling you how to vote or how to think. A guy named Chuck Hooton wrote about the current political climate. And I think it gets perfectly at what we are dealing with today in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. This is what Chuck Hooton wrote, so I'm going to read excerpts from him, not the whole thing. And he says, when a video was released revealing a man to us that had no respect for women, a man whose speech was filled with obscenity and vulgarity, and a man who did not see the beauty in God's creation of a daughter who is the reflection of God's image, we see ourselves. We are in the church and we cry foul at this. But the reality is that our churches are filled with those who flock to the vulgarest of movies and are unfazed by the fact that everything from toothpaste to car insurance is sold on the backs and bodies of our sisters and our daughters' sexuality. To stand on a perceived high moral ground is to throw rocks at Donald Trump is laughable. We are him and he is us. On the flip side, we are now learning more concretely that Hillary is a liar and a cheat. She is a woman who will say and do anything to get ahead and to feed her need for position and power. Welcome to the American dream. We live by the ideas that one should do whatever it takes to get ahead. The church is her and we are her. The church is positioned to change with the reality of the story of God's creation, and we find in Hillary our doppelganger. To say and do anything to get ahead. If a people's leaders are a reflection of the people, then a solution cannot be found in new leadership. It must be found in new people. Jesus was not a reflection of the people. He was a reflection of the Father. To look on him is to see the perfection of the kingdom of heaven. We have beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. To look upon him is to be changed into his image. So, if you, like me, are sort of in the camp where neither 2016, then hear those words as a call for repentance. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are not the problem. They are a wake-up call for us. We see in them ourselves. We see in them a call to repentance and prayer, A new president cannot and will not save us. Only Jesus can. Now, I share that with you because, you know, I probably, like you, I don't know, I'm maybe slightly more obsessive than the rest of you. I get on 538 every day to see how the polls are going, and I read commentaries, and I drive myself practically nuts just thinking about this stuff. But it really strikes me that where we are today is as ancient can be. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector is the story of ourselves. Now, I want to go back to the story, and we can talk about Jesus and his story. He teaches us how to care for each other and to put our accomplishments aside. Not to sort of bask in our own righteousness or wallow in our own guilt, but to seek after the community of the faithful. Now, one thing about the story I want you to notice, where is the Pharisee standing? If this was the church, right, he'd be right there. Or he might be right here. He might be up here and saying, God, thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for me in my life. And the tax collector might be in the narthex, might be looking through the open door up to the altar, afraid to come forward because his life is such a wreck. None of them are in the right place. This guy's in the wrong place, and that guy's in the wrong place. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So the fact that both of them simply cannot be in fellowship with another, they are both broken beyond repair. The only problem is that the Pharisee thinks he's not broken. Everything's just fine. And he's giving God a tip, like, thanks, God, great service this week, really love what you're doing, keep it up. And the tax collector barely even can look up to heaven, cannot look up to the altar, because he is consumed with guilt over the life that he leads. Neither of these are the right place. But the tax collector has one sort of arrow in his quiver. He knows that he's messed up. He knows that he's not on the right path. He's not in the right place, and that God will lead him there to where he needs to be. That makes him more humble and more malleable. It doesn't make him the hero of the story. It just makes him able for God to sort of stick his hands into the man and twist and turn and shape and mold him into the person who he is called to be, the very image of God and God's self. All of us, Pharisees and tax collectors, Donald Trumps and Hillary Clintons, drug lords and suit managers, fall short of the glory of God, and all of us need direction from God. And if we find ourselves in the position of the Pharisee, beware. Even though those things that you think hold you up, those things which make you feel so good about yourself, are tenuous at best and will fall apart. So I want to get all theological with you for a second, because I think this story is a story of the ontological gap. You might be thinking, ontological, the what-ological gap? What's that? There is a distance between us and God that is basic. It's ontological. It's foundational. And there is no distance that we can... There is so far and apart from who we are and God is, there is no bridge. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can say, no amount of giving to the church will help us bridge that gap. We are so far from the realized fullness of God. This happened since the beginning of Genesis chapter 3 and probably before. And we all face this place where we simply cannot get across. In the story, Jesus says the tax collector went down to his home justified. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Well, how do you reconcile maybe talking about an unbridgeable distance and then justification, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the bridge builder, and the bridge itself that brings us to God. It's Christ who builds the bridge over this ontological gap, this unbridgeable distance. And our only helpful response is to look up into heaven and say, thank you. Thank you for this bridge that brings me to God. And the problem is, complaining about those fellows who are on the bridge with you is meaningless, pointless, and stupid. To complain about the people who are on the bridge with you is going to get you absolutely nowhere. Or at least I found that to be for myself. I love what Mother Teresa says about this when dealing with people on this bridge. She says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish and ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, others may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God, and it was never between you and them anyway. If we can strive to know that everything we have, everything we do, is the result of God's loving touch in our lives, and that all our strength comes from a God who loves us, then the temptations of humble bragging won't be so strong. We won't thank God that we are better than the rest of those losers. We won't thank God that we're better than those Trump supporters or better than those Clinton supporters. We'll just know that we have a God who has built a bridge for us and all humanity to come to Him. We will thank God that we have a chance to know and be known by every person on this bridge with us. Now you see, I think the Pharisee's probably a good guy. I think I'd like him. You know, he's well-polished. He's good. He's been blessed. And I wonder if God is calling us to be both like the tax collector and the Pharisee at the same time. You see, the tax collector knew he needed help, and the Pharisee had already been helped and was blessed. So what if we could acknowledge that we need help and we thank God for the help we have received? Then we'll be a little bit like both men. We'll have a model on how to act. The Pharisee gave generously, and the tax collector begged for mercy. And between them, a community of love can be found. There in the middle is reconciliation, strength, and love in the presence of Christ. If we can strive to be both people, we can give thanks to God for a bridge that both blesses us with what we need and calls us forward to when we need it. For the grace of God who gave me my life, I get to walk with the kind and the mean and the beautiful and the ugly, the caring and the heartless. Because we all need a little help from our friends, and especially our friend in Jesus. Amen.